right, everyone. Welcome back to your weekly market rundown here in the crypto sector, where we talk about everything that's going on from the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts. We spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And man, I hope everyone is buckled up because we are in store for a very volatile and a very large week in the crypto markets. Just today over on the TradFi side, we have Jerome Powell coming out, talking about his interest rate decision. Is the Fed gonna cut? Are they gonna hold the same? We're gonna be talking about that and the future plans that they have. We also have FOMC. It's a really big week in relation to the TradFi markets because of that as well. But then here in the crypto markets, we have hundreds of millions of dollars coming into these strategic Bitcoin reserves. And on top of that, we have billions of dollars flowing into the Bitcoin ETFs. Now, altcoins have been exploding as well. There has been a handful of altcoins that are not only have their own ETF applications out there, and we talked about that last week, but now we're starting to see treasury strategies for a handful of these altcoins, like Ethereum, like Tron, like XRP, and they're popping up left and right. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But now that we have started to see the Genius Act in relation to the stablecoin market work its way through the government, start passing its way through everything, and get a lot of the green lights that it needed, everybody wants in. And I'm not underestimating this at all. In fact, I think if anything, we're selling the short because JP Morgan has already filed for a trademark stablecoin. But we have Deutsche Bank following up and saying, hey, we're interested in making our own stablecoin. Bank of America is doing it as well. And then we even have Fortune 500 companies like Walmart and Amazon getting into this. And now we have Treasury Secretary Bessent saying, hey, I'm really excited about this space. We're going to show the tweets. We're going to show what he's been saying. But he's saying this could become a $3.7 trillion market cap. And by that, I say the stablecoin market could become that. And let me just say, if that happens to stablecoins and we reach a near $4 trillion market cap, the crypto sector would explode like we have never seen it before. You'd probably have maybe a $10 trillion Bitcoin market cap. You'd have altcoins exploding trillions of dollars in market cap. And so there's just a lot of stuff to be excited about here today. And we hope everyone is equally as ready to kick this week off. So welcome back, everyone. And of course, I got my good buddy, Mr. Tebow, here with me. Tebow, good to have you, man.
Yes, good to be here. A lot, as we say every week, there's always so much going on in the space. This week is literally no different. Obviously, a lot of macro forces with, you know, everything going on in the world. And then also the Fed decision is today. But kind of similar to last time, it's kind of teed up to be a no cut, 99% odds as of recording this. So especially with almost everything 100. Going on, sadly, in the Middle East and all that, it's like kind of feels like a non-event today. But as always, if something crazy happens as you listen to this or after you listen to this, we'll be back on to kind of give you a recap if something insane happens. But there's so much other stuff going on that we have a full episode to run down on. And I think, yeah, this is our rundown is packed. I think this is going to be like a 40-45 minute episode for sure. But before we start, Brendan, want to give a shout out to one of our friends of the program. We're seeing this on Twitter the other day. We love everybody in the comments and X and YouTube, but the creator, he was sent you that tweet that he sent our way. He was asking for another rundown this week. So shout out to the creator. I mean, that guy seems to be there every week with us. We love everybody on YouTube. Sadly, the YouTube, shout out to our friends watching now. I see a bunch of you, but the for some reason, the chat is not working on YouTube for us on our end lives. Can't interact this week as of now. Hopefully that changes. You know, just always a shout out to the community. I feel like we're growing for sure.
I see the chat on my end.
Okay, I don't see it on my end. Maybe I'll refresh.
Yeah, maybe.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? And credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With Gemini Credit Card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight into your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, or you're a faithful listener of the Crypto 101 podcast and love Bitcoin and other cryptos, Visit the Gemini credit card website so it's easy for you to earn even more Bitcoin or crypto with their credit card. Again, visit Gemini.com/card today to learn more. Attention cigar enthusiasts. Today, we're thrilled to introduce to you CigarBid, America's number one online cigar auction site. If you're looking for unbeatable deals on every type of cigar, listen up. At CigarBid, you have the power to set your own price, often scoring top quality cigars and accessories at prices much lower than retail. Others want you to believe they are always giving you their best deal, but at CigarBid, you get to decide the deal. It's the cigar site the rest of the industry does not want you to know about. Score deals at the best prices every single day. The live auctions are fast-paced and exciting, making every bid a thrilling experience. Check out Freefall to watch the prices drop in real time, or the Power Hour for our fastest-paced auctions. CigarBid has a text update so you get notified when you're outbid and get exclusive deals right to you. And if bidding is not your thing, then no problem at all, because you can buy the cigars straight up at awesome low prices as well. So no matter what you're looking for, you'll find it at CigarBid. So if you're ready to enjoy the fun and the convenient way to purchase fine cigars at great prices online, visit cigarbid.com/crypto101. That's cigarbid.com/crypto101. Happy bidding.
Give it a refresh, and people that are listening in live, say something in the chat box. You know, we can see if it works or not. But yeah, I mean, Tebow, it's good to see that the community members are getting involved. I saw that tweet as well. So shout out to all the great listeners out there. And let's really kick this off with price action, because, man, have we had a volatile time here. And this is nothing new, right? Cryptocurrency is always volatile. I think a lot of us have become somewhat accustomed to this. But Bitcoin has a big old squeeze forming on the daily chart. Now, what does this mean? Well, as we approach the all-time highs up here, and we actually hit new all-time highs on Bitcoin, we have been seeing lower highs and higher lows over here on Bitcoin forming a pennant, or what we would call a bull flag. Now, the reason that we call this a bull flag is because it looks like a flagpole, right? So we have the bull pole right here and then the bull flag right here. And so the way that this typically works is that we have the move up, we have a continuation pattern where we squeeze and this zone gets tighter and tighter and tighter. And that's kind of where we're at now here, is as all the pressure is, you know, quite literally squeezing, and everyone's watching to see, are we going to break out to the upside and sort of new all-time highs, or are we going to break this structure to the downward side and maybe go below 100K again? And that's really kind of the way that I see this happening here, is whichever way we break, I think we have room for about a $10,000 move. So if we break here, we could go down to the mid 90s. If we break to the upside here, I think we could go to, you know, really close to like 120,000 and somewhere in that range. And I don't think that that's anything too crazy. So pressure really is building. There's a big old squeeze from this pennant. I think it's worth keeping an eye on for all those crypto traders, day traders, swing traders, even investors, because if we do get a slip dip and a rip where we break down to the mid 90s, you know, that is a huge point of support where we have the 200-day moving average, and we also have the volume point of control as we zoom out here. We can kind of see this a little bit better. But as we zoom out here, you can see that this will coincide very closely with that 200-day moving average right around the mid-90s. So as this is bulging out, that's where the volume point of control is. It's where the 200-day moving average is. And it's a huge zone to keep an eye on. Now, beyond Bitcoin just being in a big squeeze and grabbing a lot of attention, altcoins have been going nuts, Tebow. If we're just going to highlight a few of these, I mean, man, Aerodrome's up 16% on the day. It just feels like it can't stop, won't stop. That means that since June 5th, this guy's up almost 80%, pushing up to that 200-day moving average, hitting new swing highs. It's a great sight to see. Beyond this, we've seen a couple of other big runners. Aave has been tearing to the upside, recovering a little bit now, or retracing a little bit now. Hyperliquid, same story, tearing to the upside. Euler for a long time, tearing to the upside. Fartcoin, similar story over here. Maker's been crushing it in a nice uptrend. Where do we even stop? Syrup, we can't leave this one out. Going parabolic, hitting new all-time highs just, you know, the past 2 days. And so the list goes on. You know, SPK has been going, or excuse me, SPX has been going really, really well. Virtuals has been tearing back to the upside hundreds of percent. And so the altcoin market is on fire. And I know a lot of people that are holding the legacy coins are saying it's not on fire. My coins aren't moving. They're not doing anything. And, you know, there are a lot of coins that aren't, but there's a lot of ones that are. And so I think people are somewhat frustrated that these old legacy coins aren't doing as crazy of moves as they were used to in previous cycles. And that's because we tend to see this stuff move on like a secular basis where it's like, hey, they had a great cycle. Now other coins are going to do what they did, what those old coins did in their previous cycles. Now there's a time for these new coins to shine. And that's what we're seeing here with a lot of these coins like Virtual, like Syrup, like Fartcoin, like Hyperliquid, like Euler. And there are some like in even Aerodrome. And there are some coins that have been around for maybe a cycle or two that are mixed in there. But on average, a lot of these newer coins are outperforming the market. And so, and they're crushing it too. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of percent just in the last month or two. And some of them even in the last couple of weeks. So keep an eye on the altcoin market and also keep a close eye on Bitcoin here, everyone, because whatever Bitcoin does, that is going to determine the overall general theme of the market, right? So if Bitcoin tanks, the odds are most altcoins are going to tank, regardless of whether they're doing well. If Bitcoin soars to new all-time highs, the odds are most altcoins, even if they're not doing the best, are probably going to go up. So whatever like Bitcoin and Ethereum are doing here, however they're kind of leading the way, that is going to determine the overall like macro direction of the market. So we're keeping a close eye on both of these as Bitcoin is trying to hold on to the 50-day moving average and Ethereum is trying to do the same thing. And Ethereum has been relatively, you know, pretty strong here in recent weeks. So worth keeping an eye on both of these. We want to see them get back above some of these key levels of resistance. And there's certainly the catalyst that can get us back up there. I know that we have FOMC and interest rate decisions, as you kind of mentioned, TiVo. So people are just sitting on the sidelines a little bit until those events happen here on Wednesday. And I think as we get a little bit more clarity, we'll probably get some sort of a move. And I think volatility resumes either towards the end of this week or maybe even the beginning of next week. But I would imagine that volatility resumes here a little bit. I know like Ethereum's price has kind of been frozen in between, 24 and like 20 or 25 and 2600. Bitcoin has been a little bit frozen in between 104 and like 107. Again, I would imagine that we start resuming some sort of a trend, whether that's up or down, after a lot of this news kind of clears up and we get all that stuff passed. But that's my thoughts there. Has anything stood out to you with this market?
Yeah, I can share a quick thing I posted. I think you saw it just a little bit, basically a meme of some simple evening TA. And again, we're not diving into the politics of it. It's obviously just a sad situation around, but the USA is getting involved, at least verbally, in this conflict in the Middle East and, you know, between the Fed and inflation, and then now this being the biggest switch of what could happen, what might not happen. Are we negotiating? Are we going hot? Kind of feels like everybody's on the edge of their seats there. So a little up or down there on whether the U.S. makes a decision one way or the other, I think is kind of what could send us exactly building off of your last theory there. Like, hey, we're kind of bouncing around. We're looking for a direction to go. And I think this is one of the larger catalysts to keep an eye on. And again, taking the actual event out of it, because that's not what we do here. We can't break that down for you, but it is a big decision. It is a worldly event. And obviously, as we've seen before and we've covered before, go back to August with like the Nikkei trade when, you know, that Japanese Nikkei trade had to unravel. It was a world financial event that affected everything from Bitcoin to the S&P 500, right? So I think this is something similar that you just want to keep an eye on. I don't know about you. I'm not making bets either way by any means. It's just, you know, you're monitoring the situation and it's volatility that I think, at least in my mind, could send us kind of one way or another, depending on the direction that we head.
Yeah, you know, that's certainly playing a factor. I have looked at some studies and some previous data talking about what tends to happen with these conflicts, especially in like the Middle East. And the way that it looks is that it's short-term pain, but long-term gain. And when I say short-term, like usually the pain lasts days to maybe weeks at the very, very most. And it's typically followed by an uptrend. And that's, again, assuming that there's not mass escalation, which is always a possibility. But my mindset here is I'm not so much worried about what happens with like the geopolitical side of things. I am a little bit more concerned about what happens. And again, this is strictly not saying like concerned with like what happens in the world, but concerned like with how this actually impacts the crypto market and the markets in general. I think that whatever we're going to hear at Jerome Powell's speech today and FOMC and all of that, I think that is going to play a bigger role in how the markets are impacted. So we're going to have to see what their like future talks are, their guidance and that stuff. I think that's going to be pretty impactful. And like you said, you know, we're probably not going to get any change today. We're probably not going to get anything crazy. But I think people are worried about whether inflation could heat up in the summer and maybe get worse because of tariffs, or what their kind of guidance looks like for the future. There's a lot of talks now that, hey, we're not going to be cutting rates until the end of the year, and maybe we only get one rate cut then. And so that could be something that causes people to be a little bit more pessimistic about the markets, because crypto typically responds in a really positive way to rate cuts. And so when we look at the last couple of years, TiVo, I wish I had this data in front of me, but the Fed has kind of been underperforming in comparison to their expectations. So they come out and they say, oh, we're going to cut rates this many times, and then they don't do it. And then they come out and say, oh, we're going to cut rates this many times and this and that, and then they don't do it. And so people have been getting really frustrated with the fact that they're saying one thing and underperforming and doing another. And the crypto market, again, responds good when the Federal Reserve is cutting rates. And so hopefully we see that sooner rather than later, and we don't see that shoved off and kind of dwindle away from, you know, a couple that we were expecting to maybe only one. And that's one thing that I'm keeping an eye out on. So between 2 and 3 o'clock today, we're going to get a lot of clarity on that front. So I am kind of just watching the markets a little bit here. I have to say I'm sitting on my hands. Me and you were talking about this. We're sitting on our hands, sitting on a little bit more cash than normal. And you know what? That's okay. It is okay to do that at times like this. Now, I've been making a few trades here and there. I actually tried taking a stab at a Bitcoin long here in the past like week or two and been trading some of that. But for the most part, I'm kind of sitting on my hands. I'm saying, let's get a little bit more data. Like, let's see where things are at and then kind of approach it from there. But in the meantime, like I've said, there's been these altcoins that have been crushing it. And it's been really fun to play things like SearUp and all those other ones that have been going crazy. A Maker has been another one that I've had my hand in.
I mean, dude, honestly, I like to do this every once in a while, but shout out to us. Shout out to the podcast team. In the last year, I know that we've had Aerodrome on. In the last year, I know that we had the head of Maker DAO. We interviewed him in Austin. Yep. He was part of our summit series and the podcast. And we had SearUp on. We literally had SearUp on, I think, like right before they were launching or the week they were launching. I mean, this is the place to get alpha. I mean, obviously, we welcome you guys to check out the links below and join the community so you can get in touch with Bryce and Brendan and the whole team and have touch points literally every day of the week. But we do this once, twice a week for free and just absolutely feeding you alpha. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet of alpha, and we appreciate you being here.
Yeah, I mean, we even had a... his name's slipping my mind, but we had a hedge fund. Oh, it's going to kill me. I'll have to pull it up and track it down. But we had a buddy on about 2 months ago who runs a hedge fund, and he was talking about Fartcoin and giving us alpha over there.
Oh, Rennick Paley, 100%.
Rennick. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Rennick was talking about it, and he said, look at Fartcoin. And that thing has just been performing beautifully. We had someone from the Ethereum team on. I guess you could say it's been ripping, pun intended. But like, and then we had an Ethereum member on, right? And Ethereum has been dominant here for a little while. And so, TiVo, good call out there, good catch. We love doing these, and we love doing them completely for free. So we're trying to give out as much free alpha as we can here. But I guess going back into what we've seen with the stablecoin market, that has been a huge catalyst here, TiVo. When you look at the Genius Bill and the way that it's been working its way through, I think I saw that it passed. I know it passed the Senate. Did it pass the House as well?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is ripping. Yeah, take it away.
No, I was just saying the Genius Bill is basically on its way. Yeah. You know, it's bipartisan. I think the coolest part about the Genius Bill is it is bipartisan. So it's not one of those politically driven events where it's people on one side of the aisle want it, people on the other side of the aisle don't. I mean, there's Democrats and Republicans across the board that want this to get done, except for Liz Warren, of course, who's screaming and crying trying to get this thing changed. But I think this is a bipartisan piece of legislation that's going to go through, and it's giving a lot of momentum to the stablecoin market. That's the title of this episode. That's the thumbnail. So it's the meat and potatoes of maybe why you're here today. So we're going to kind of go through and talk about everything from, I know we can kick around the circle subject in a second, but there's all these companies now that are popping up saying that, you know, they want to have their own stablecoin or be involved in the stablecoin market in some way. And it just makes sense off of the back of the momentum of this bill as it seems to be going through the process of becoming a law.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's dive into it, because JP Morgan, one of the largest financial players in the world, we're talking about like trillions of dollars in assets under management. And they came out, we're going to put it on the screen here. And this is a good reminder, if you're tuning in from Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anywhere else, and you want to see the visuals on the screen, you got to go over to our YouTube channel, which is the Crypto 101 Podcast on YouTube. But here we have it pulled up for everyone. And JP Morgan has trademarked a stablecoin filing. You know, they are looking at creating their own stablecoin titled JPMD. And this is a really, really big deal. So they say, you know, this is for goods and services. This is for trading, exchanging, transferring, payment services, all for digital assets, including virtual and digital currency, digital tokens and payment tokens, decentralized application tokens, and blockchain-enabled currencies. This also includes electronic fund transfers, security brokerage, real-time token trading, custody services, and secure online financial transactions. So basically, they want this to be an all-encompassing umbrella so that they can use it cross-border any time of the day, instantaneous for a fraction of the cost, and they see the value. So if one of the largest traditional financial players, one of the largest asset managers in the world is doing this, and it's real and it's happening because of the Genius Act and the clarity that we're getting over there. Also, TiVo, again, I don't want to toot our own horn too much, but we've had a ton of guests on who have been saying, watch the stablecoin market, watch the stablecoin market. And they've been telling us that, and we've been saying, hey, how do we get exposure to this, this and that? And we'll get into that in just a second. But JP Morgan's doing this, and they're not alone. With Deutsche Bank coming out, and they're exploring stablecoins as well. This is awesome because it says, hey, we're exploring this idea of stablecoins and tokenized deposits. Bank of America, I don't think we have a link for this, but Bank of America, they came out, and they're saying the same thing, a huge player. Again, if you're in the United States, you know who Bank of America is. If you're outside, I'm sure you can get the idea in the name. But another huge player saying, hey, we're looking at creating our own stable coin. And there's a clip, you know, we can actually even potentially play it if we want to, though. But there's a clip of their CEO talking about this exact subject.
Currency. It's pretty clear there's going to be a stable coin, which is going to be a fully dollar-backed, you know, type of thing, which is no different than a money market fund with check access. Is no different than a bank account, really. And so, if they make that legal, we'll go into that business. So you'll have a Bank of America coin and a U.S. dollar deposit, and we'll be able to move them back and forth, because now it hasn't been legal for us to do it, but it's just then like another foreign currency. Right. The question of what it's useful for is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. He's basically saying, hey, if they approve this, we're going to do it. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, I think it's just going to get created. And then there's it's not just banks, right?
I'm
kind of sharing the screen here, but I'll throw it up. It's Walmart, Amazon exploring issuing their own stable coin. It just feels like and I'll toss it back to you here, but it feels just like an unlock of liquidity. Like that just feels like the term that these guys and businesses and banks, everybody's licking their chops because it's just going to unlock more liquidity.
It is. It's a huge unlock of liquidity. And I think Scott Bessin said it best, and we'll pull up that tweet. But he's saying if like all of this plays out, he sees this being a $3.7 trillion stablecoin market. And the amount of liquidity that that would bring into the crypto sector would be gigantic. If we see that kind of capital come into the stablecoin market, Bitcoin would be skyrocketing. Ethereum, Solana, everything else would be skyrocketing. You'd also see a lot of these stablecoins buying U.S. debt. This is a good thing for both the crypto market. It's a good thing for the United States, and it's a good thing for these investors. The people who own cryptocurrency are going to be benefiting. The U.S. economy is going to be benefiting because they're going to have people buying their debt and expanding it. It also creates a healthy relationship between the crypto market and the United States. You know, we should never, if this happens, we should never see the United States coming after the crypto market like it was in the past several years, because it would be mutually destructive for them to do that, because all these stablecoin providers are going to be massive buyers of U.S. treasuries. So again, this is a good thing for everyone. He says, hey, this is a win-win for everyone involved. And he gives the check marks to the private sector, to the treasury, to the consumers. And I agree. So again, regardless of where you stand on politics, we're seeing bipartisan support of this. And I think that's really the way that everyone should be approaching this. Doesn't matter if you're left, right, sideways, we could care less. But there's bipartisan support for this for a reason, and that's because it looks like a win-win situation. And if you're a crypto holder, you'll want to see this at the end of the day.
Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand, through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Just gigantic news. And fingers crossed, we see those trillions of dollars flow into the stablecoin market, because TiVo, you know, not only the listeners, but I know me and you, we have our fair share of crypto. We would be benefiting as well. And one can only hope. I know.
Yeah. I was going to say transition into like kind of the circle conversation. So everybody, and I know we've talked about on the podcast, like you mentioned with our guests, is like, hey, how do we get exposure? And I feel like TradFi was kind of asking the same questions. And then we had the Circle IPO. I don't know if you have that in TradingView. Can you pull up Circle and just show the absolute rocket ship that has been Circle from, I believe it was like a $33 IPO or something, and it's, you know, trading around, you know, in the hundreds. And so people got super excited about this IPO and sent it straight to the moon from its IPO day. You got a percentage for us there?
Almost 400%.
Unreal. So this was something that went live. You could have bought it on your brokerage, and it's exposure to the stablecoin market. And so the conversation that we can kick around here is, you know, obviously the valuation of this company sky high. We were talking about that before the show, Brendan. It's like an insane valuation, but it's investors, hedge funds, companies, retail being like, is this the only way to get exposure to stablecoins, right? Because it's kind of limited in a way. And my thought was, and I'd love to hear your opinions, was, okay, this is the first to market. So you, obviously you have a first to market advantage in the sense of people wanting exposure. And you see that with the last, you know, 2.5-3 weeks that it's traded. But now that it went through the IPO process and it went through the regulation and now you have the genius bill, I mean, all that momentum is probably priced in, if we're being honest, at least to this point. But yeah, when you talk about the big dog of Tether, I think questions kind of still remain about how involved companies, especially U.S. publicly traded companies, can be involved with Tether because they're so worldwide and they don't follow kind of the one regulation or the other. So that was kind of my view. I did reach out to Tether to try to get somebody on and Circle. I'm trying to, like, because the conversation's hot. I think we have a ton of questions we could ask them and continue to learn. But that was my initial thought, is like, it's kind of a first to market thing. So there might be a little hype into this, clearly a little bit of FOMO, because I mean, how else do you get 400% in 2 weeks? But, you know, what are your thoughts on it? And you know, kind of the direction of this market, and then I guess gaining exposure. You know, I know this was something that our team, and we talked about it with Brian and Joe that Friday, was like, our whole team, you included, was like, we got to get some exposure to Circle when it comes out. And it was a great call.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things that I think everyone needs to understand about Circle. They have a PE ratio of around 1700, right? That is the largest PE ratio I think I have ever seen for a decent sized market cap company. So they have a PE ratio of nearly 1700. They have a market cap of $35.5 billion. Their revenue is, I think, what's kind of crazy, right? So they're doing around $578 million in revenue. I think what people are excited about here is the rate at which they're increasing their revenue. So they grew their revenue by 1,942% in comparison to their previous quarter. And they have a 983% year-over-year increase in revenue. So when you look at this, the numbers look pretty impressive, right? Year over year, almost 1,000%. In the last quarter, they grew at almost 2,000%. And this is according to Google, and I believe it was Yahoo Finance. That's pretty exciting. And so now what you have here is them IPOing when Bitcoin was at an all-time high. You have them IPOing in a very crypto-friendly regulation. You have them IPOing as the Genius Act is getting passed and approved. And there's also really no other way to get true exposure from the TradFi markets on stablecoins. And so it's been this perfect storm scenario where all these factors are coming together at the exact same time. And it has just exploded from $30 to $160, having this almost 400% increase in the last two or so weeks. And now that it's sitting, and Tiva, we were talking about this before this, I don't like PE ratios. I don't like measuring anything in PE ratios. I think to put it nicely, I think it's a horrible way, and it's a very like noob friendly way of measuring stocks. Like, usually, you know, people that are brand new to the space and they don't really know the market well, they say, oh, PE this and that, because they've heard it before, and it's a super easy metric to read. But like, I don't think it's a great way of measuring stocks. However, I've never ever seen a PE ratio of 1700 on anything that is a semi-mainstream stock. I don't even know about just a normal like micro cap stock. 1700 is crazy. And, you know, you have to think, you know, is this priced in because of what we're seeing over here? Is it overvalued? Like, we don't know. When they're growing their revenue at 1,000% per year and 2,000% per quarter, I think that is what people are excited about, especially if they say that, hey, this is going to be a multi-trillion dollar space. Circle is now one of the front runners of this space, and it's only valued at $35 billion when Scott Bessent is saying it could be $4 trillion. Like, does that really matter? Does the PE ratio even matter if it has room to do another like 200x to get to the market cap of where it's at? Actually, even more than that, almost like a 300x to even get towards the market cap of where Scott Bessent is saying it can be by the end of this decade. So there's a lot of factors to consider here. I think ultimately this is going to remain a very volatile chart. But if the revenue keeps up in the same way that it is from stablecoins, and the amazing part about it is that these stablecoin companies, Tether, Circle, all of them, the amount that they make of revenue per employee is ridiculously good, right? Because they have such low cost, they have such a small amount of employees that are able to create this overhead, that their expenses are a lot lower, and they have some of the largest amounts of revenue per employee out of any company in the world. So that's another thing to kind of consider as well. So the stablecoin market and the crypto market here is at a very unique inflection point where we're trying to appropriately value this stuff, but there's so many future things about what it could be and what we're anticipating it to be. And I think that's where people are trying to target price right now. They're not saying, hey, it should make sense today, because it doesn't make sense given the current situation, but that's not what people are measuring it by. They're not measuring it by what is the values in the numbers today. They're saying, what could the values in the numbers be by a year from now, from 5 years from now? And I think that's what people are trying to get in here. And we see that a lot in the markets, whether it's crypto or stocks or whatever. And that seems to be the big focus point at the moment.
Yeah. And again, we'll put a lid on this with these numbers here. So I just pulled up the averages, right? So, you know, if you want to pull... healthcare 2025 average PE, energy 10 to 15, along with financials. And then this would be basically a technology, right? So your technology PEs are 30 to 40 on average. But, you know, pull your Teslas. I know Palantir is a big one right now where these PEs are just astronomical because, you know, that's the argument, you know, you see on TV with Tesla. It's so funny. People come on and they're like, I don't know, it's a car company. And then you got people being like, it's not a car company. It's a, you know, it's a self-driving, it's robots, it's the future. And so that's, you know, that difference in opinion, it kind of gives you how that PE, you know, rockets. And then obviously Palantir being with AI and kind of the state of the world we're in currently, people are rallying behind that stock as well. So something definitely to keep tabs on, but it's kind of the circle IPO'd, but it's the crypto IPO year, right? I mean, it's just, we saw Circle, and then we got another news this week. Looks like Tron wants to go public with a reverse merger with SRM. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, Brendan, because I guess we didn't really talk about this. I don't really know what a reverse merger is as much as I think it's two companies kind of combining to create a new one, and then it goes public. Kind of sounds like a SPAC almost. But either way, I think the Tron team saw what happened with Circle and was like, we got to get an IPO out to the markets.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of companies that have seen what has happened with Circle and want to get in on the price action, right? We're seeing it with Gemini. We're seeing it with Tron. We're seeing it with Uphold. There's a lot of companies out there that are looking to do something very, very similar. Now, I don't see them having the same level of success. I don't see any of these companies having the same level of success that Circle did because, again, the genius bill. This was a massive step in the right direction of stablecoin and the stablecoin legislation. And previous to this, there's been no way to get exposure. That is why Circle has been so big. I think with Gemini, you could say, hey, we can already get public exposure to Coinbase. With Tron, people can go and they've been able to get public exposure to any cryptocurrency. With, what was the one other one? Uphold, right? Well, now we could go and get exposure to potentially Gemini and Coinbase. So there's cryptocurrency exchanges out there that people could get exposure to. So I'm not saying that they won't be successful, but what I am saying is I don't see them having the same reaction that Circle did because it's a little bit different of circumstances. So when we're looking at Tron and this reverse, what were they calling it? A reverse merger?
Reverse merger.
We'll see. This is essentially a way for them to be able to go public. Yeah, we'll see. It's not something that I would say I'm like ridiculously hyped about, but I'm also like not negative on it. It's just like, you know, we'll see. I know that I'm maybe a little bit biased towards Tron because it's really, really big overseas, but it's not very big in America. So I don't tend to look at Tron a lot, but I know a lot of people overseas do. So I'm interested to see how the IPO responds, because it would be IPOing on the New York Stock Exchange, but the bulk of their clientele are overseas. And so even overseas people can trade the New York Stock Exchange. But again, it just, I don't know, it seems a little strange.
I just wanted to learn, because again, what we do here is educate. So I feel like it's important to be like, hey, I've never heard of this reverse merger. I've never dug into anything like that. So I gave it a quick rock here, and just we can move on afterwards. But reverse merger, private company mergers with or is acquired by the publicly traded company. So the SRM is going to acquire Tron, and it basically acts as like a shell company. So it's like, okay, Tron's just going to move its operations underneath the umbrella of this publicly traded company, and it basically can be a part of that company and then kind of gets integrated into the books of that company. And so it gives the stock a new look, right? It's a fresh look, but it's not necessarily a true IPO process where it's going to get bidded on and then put out into the open market. So once the merger happens, then it's just kind of live. It's the comparison is speed. It's basically a faster way. It could take months instead of years. It's a lower cost. It gives access to capital, much simpler process with regulation. And then obviously there's some risk for probably the company like a Tron getting filed underneath. You're risking dilution and basically becoming that part of it is you're signing away some type of rights, but you know, you got to figure out what the individual contracts are for stuff like that. Interesting, something we'll definitely keep tabs on, but it seems like the year of the crypto IPO is well underway.
That it does. And you know, speaking of different stuff that's underway, you brought this to my attention, so maybe I should hand it off to you, but the Solana ETFs might be including staking. Is that right, TiVo?
Yeah, James Seyfarth, our friend of the program, hot on the case as always with what's coming out of the Bloomberg terminal. And I think what I've learned from the process with the Bitcoin and the Ethereum ETFs is when you see all these companies, so you see their Fidelity, 21 shares, you know, Franklin Templeton, Grayscale, Bitwise, and et cetera. When you see everybody come back with an addendum for that ETF filing, like something's moving. So there's been some feedback from the SEC to these companies saying, hey, like, we're probably going to be moving forward with this. You all need to update this section of your filing. And it's kind of reminiscent, at least for me, of what we saw towards the end of the Bitcoin ETF process, right before it was approved. You basically, at first it was, you know, 21 shares files something, and then 5 days later, Fidelity files something, and then 3 days later, Bitwise filed something, and then towards the end, it was this updated. They updated their filing, and everybody was doing it at the same time, and they're kind of in lockstep in unison, because when they go live with these, the SEC wants fairness, and they want them all to go live at the same time to be fair, so you have your choices instead of letting one go live first, and then obviously that would be kind of like a monopoly factor of options. So I think it looks promising. So it was 6 out of 7 hopeful ETFs submitted here, and then he updated his thread here, and there's number 7. VanEck rounds out all 7 filers. So it looks like the SEC is marching towards a Solana ETF with staking, and then you got to think if Solana is going to be offered staking, the next big one to think would be Ethereum would be right behind it, unless there's something about Ethereum that would make it harder or difficult to offer staking. And I've always said on this program that, and this was months ago, that especially when the Ethereum ETF went live, is like, we got to get staking. You got to give them that dividend, because it's just such a natural part of the TradFi markets, right? People love the dividends, and it opens up to a different class of hedge fund and money manager investors, where some of those money managers are dividend investors. There's dividend aristocrats where their whole portfolios have to have a dividend of some type to be in the portfolio. And so if you can get, and again, maybe Solana and Ethereum wouldn't qualify for most or some of those investors because it's too volatile or whatnot, but it gives it the option. And I think you're going to see a lot more people kind of give, again, it's that 1, 2, 3% allocation to these ETFs on such a large scale that if you offer that yield, it's going to open up the doors to such a large swath of investors and money managers that are managing billions and trillions of dollars that are looking for yield. So I think it's an awesome thing. I would be super excited for it. And it's something that we'll be watching because it feels like, again, I don't think it's a day one floodgate where you see this and then the next day or the next week, you know, Solana and Ethereum rocket higher per se. But I think it's like the Bitcoin ETF. Go back and check, you know, the day that went live and the price and watch it just go higher and higher and higher.
Yeah, I mean, I like what you said about if everyone is filing for something, there's something going on behind the scenes. And we've seen this before with both the Bitcoin and the Ethereum ETFs. So the fact that they are all resubmitting documents and making edits and changes and just overall like submitting stuff, and there's activity there from every single ETF, it is pretty telling that there is something going on in the background. And if you remember last week, we talked about all these new ETF applications and how James and Eric were giving us new odds of approval ratings for the indexes, for the baskets, for a handful of other altcoins like Solana, XRP, AVAX, Tron was in there, Sui, Litecoin, and there's a bunch of them. And we went over the likelihood that they get approved by the end of this year, and also who has submitted these. And so it looks like it's really going to become a thing. Again, we love to give alpha here. We like to talk about this stuff before it happens. So we talked about it last week. We're talking about it again here this week. And there could be big implications for Solana, for a lot of these other crypto ETFs, maybe for Ethereum staking. And these are things to keep an eye out on. So the crypto sector, it's moving well here. And Coinbase is right alongside this news. They've been in the news a lot lately. Some good, some bad, not all good, unfortunately, here. But this is good. So Coinbase came out and they said, hey, we're going to be launching our own credit card. And this has been something that a lot of different people have been doing lately, are these cryptocurrency credit cards. Now, Coinbase is obviously one of the bigger, more well-known names. And what people are excited about is the fact that they can get up to 4% cash or 4% back in Bitcoin. Now, keyword there is up to. I've seen a lot of people misinterpret this and say, I can get 4% cash back in Bitcoin on everything. No, that would be crazy. That would be cool. But it's up to 4%. And we need more details around this because I'm curious, like, what is going to give us 4%? Is it like gas? Is it groceries? Is it travel? Like, I don't know. But it's interesting. And I think the credit card world is a hard one to penetrate because you look at like the leaders in the space with like MasterCard and Chase and, you know, even Capital One. And it's a hard space to penetrate into. However, for people who really are just crypto maxis and like that is all they truly care about in life is crypto, then this could and will be a very, very big thing, especially for these treasury companies. Like, can you imagine MicroStrategy having a card where 4% of whatever they spend or 2 or 3% of whatever they spend is getting put back into Bitcoin and they're just passively earning more Bitcoin for spending on like necessary purchases? It's an interesting idea. So I like it.
I did some digging and it wasn't anything I found officially. It was more like some of those, you know, fintech bloggers and people that probably have some inside information were putting out some nuggets. So again, this is just speculation, but like Brendan said, he nailed it. He goes up to 4%. So then what's the fine print? So basically what I heard was, well, number one, I believe you're going to have to be a Coinbase One subscriber. So I think that's $29 a month or $20 a month. So that's basically your fee to be in the program. And then I believe you get a base. And then it was based on, so you get like, let's just say you get 2 or 3% for that. And then up to 4%, depending on how much assets you hold on Coinbase. So there's going to be some threshold that I didn't see a number given, but maybe it's 50,000, maybe it's 100, maybe it's a million, who knows? But like, you have to have a certain amount of assets on the platform plus that subscription. And the subscription's kind of a little, it's a little high, but you'd have to do the math. It comes down to the math, right? So 20 bucks or 25 bucks times 12. And then you got to do the math of whatever percentage you're getting. And, you know, if you spend X amount a year, what's the delta there? Is it worth it? But yeah, I know Gemini has a credit card. I don't know the details on that. They have multiple options. It's Bitcoin, a bunch of altcoins. And then Robinhood has a credit card as well. They were the first kind of brokerage to launch one last year. And I do have the Robinhood credit card, so I can give some insight into that if people are interested. But I like Robinhood's. They do have a membership fee for the gold program, but I think that's $5 a month compared to 20. So that's a lot cheaper. And Robinhood's is 3% across the board. So it's 3% on every purchase. And then they have a travel portal where you can, if you book their travel portal, it's 5%. But their travel portal prices there's a 5% increase on prices for the travel. You can kind of tell if you're nifty and doing your travel research. So this is definitely a trend. And I think it's one of those things like the more competition, the better, right? So I think all these cards are going to launch. Some are going to sink, some are going to swim. And then you're going to have the people competing on the forum. But I love the idea. Some people love points, right? There are points. I got 1,000 points. I have so many Amex points. I never use them. And then when it's time to use them, you got to figure out and down there's all these point podcasts and point influencers, and you can learn from them how to get, you know, the most out of your points. I kind of like this, like 3% cash back. And then I just constantly, it's like passive investing, right? It's an easy way to passively invest. And then obviously, you know, if you want to do Bitcoin or, you know, with Robinhood, you could do whatever, right? You could do Apple, you could do Microsoft Bitcoin, you could do Pengu, whatever you want. So I think this market's not going away, but like you said, credit card business is a tough business. You know, you're basically, you know, you're getting basis points of alpha for being the credit card provider or the company behind it. Cause I don't know. I didn't see if Coinbase is partnering with MasterCard or Visa, but like, you know, you got to partner probably with one of these big dogs and they're going to take the majority of the profits. So it'll be interesting to see how it grows.
Yeah. You know, I saw that we had a comment in the chat box from, I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing their name, but it's RockVTM. And they were just asking us about stablecoins, saying, hey, you know, this could be something that potentially stirs up trouble. Maybe there's some issues with this. They say that, hey, you know, we're from Peru and this stuff could be used for bad purposes. And maybe that throws a wrench in this. But he asked, what are our thoughts on this? And what I'd say is that I've actually seen this argument a lot over the years, just about the crypto market in general. And when you look at how much a cryptocurrency is used for our illegal activities versus the US dollar, it's some astronomically like minute number in comparison to the US dollar. Like the US dollar was used for illegal activities, like I think it was like hundreds of times more than whatever crypto was. And also when you look at the crypto market, I think it actually makes it worse for criminals to use it, especially stablecoins specifically, because these are things that are fully trackable and traceable. So people can see exactly where it's going, you know, what the wallet is. If it's being used for bad purposes, then they get blacklisted and all wallets associated with them get blacklisted. The funds can be actually seized. And yeah, I would say also just beyond it being like a worse thing for people to use because there's less privacy, you know, those kind of things are unfortunately going to happen regardless. Cash is more untraceable than stable coins. It's also more untraceable than like just any kind of normal currency. So I think that it will not really be used for that. It almost creates more problems for the people who are trying to use it for bad purposes than less problems. Right. And the other side of that is just that bad things are unfortunately always going to be used. It doesn't matter if it's fiat. It doesn't matter if it's crypto. It doesn't matter if people are exchanging precious metals or some sort of commodity. People will always use any form of value to do potentially illegal and bad things with it. And that's not going to stop. I think what stablecoins do with how traceable they are is it can actually almost discourage that, I think, even more than encourage it. And when we look at a lot of these stablecoins, they would be used for internal purposes. And so if you're looking at JP Morgan or Bank of America or Deutsche Bank or a lot of these people that are already looking into it, this isn't something that is going to be like publicly traded, in my opinion. They would be using this for the most part internally. Maybe it reaches some sort of external matter. But again, would you ever try to do illegal transactions inside of your Bank of America account, inside of your JP Morgan account? And I think the answer there is no, because you're setting yourself up for failure doing illegal transactions inside of like a brokerage account. And I think that this will be viewed in a very similar manner.
Great points. And I think it's new. So there's probably, you know, anything new has bugs and, you know, things that might go wrong, and there's going to be learning, and they'll figure out how to set up these guardrails. But kind of to your point, it's more traceable over the long term. I think it's going to actually make it harder for the money launderers and the cash grabbers and the gold bars under the bed for criminals type of action. And we just got a thank you from our buddy Rock. Thank you, Rock. Shout out to Peru, huh? Peru in the chat. That's okay, Rock. You disagree a little bit? That's fine. That's why we're here. Well, conversation, healthy debate. You got to love it.
Yeah. Nothing ever wrong with that. It's completely to disagree and partially agree and anything in between. Nonetheless, we appreciate you coming on here and asking the questions.
Yeah, 100%. Let's land this puppy.
Yeah, let's wrap it up here, because Fold has secured $250 million in equity to, drumroll please, purchase and expand their Bitcoin treasury. We saw Michael Saylor in Strategy doing this the other day. Fold's coming in. They're doing the same thing. These treasuries are picking up hundreds of millions of dollars of Bitcoin just all the time. And even the Bitcoin ETFs, I saw that they had $1.8 billion in flows. And I think it was the last like 6 or 7 trading days or something like that. I don't have the article in front of me, but it's something crazy where we're seeing like billions of dollars of inflows into the ETFs, hundreds of millions of dollars flow into the treasuries. And this is just like weekly, monthly, just quarterly, constantly happening. And there's a lot of money being bought up here, and there's a lot of attention towards not only crypto, but, you know, specifically Bitcoin in this situation. A lot of people want in. And I think short term, the price is going to be volatile. You know, we're going to see this thing move up. We're going to see it move down. That's the nature of crypto, is it's naturally pretty volatile. However, I do think that as time goes on, besides whatever kind of choppy price action that we get, that we resolve towards the upside in the long term, which makes me excited. So regardless of whatever we're feeling right now, Tivo, I do think that with everything that we talked about here, again, it's pretty hard to be pessimistic about the crypto market, given all of the different news articles, all the different catalysts, everything that we've talked about. You got to be bullish in the long term. So did I miss anything there, Tivo? Do you have any thoughts before we wrap up?
No, this is, I think, a top five, at least, if not up in the top three of like longest rundowns ever, coming in at 55 minutes. We covered it all. Like we said at the jump, there's a lot going on. And that's what we do here each week. And long-term bullish and excited, hopefully to move past all the drama in the world right now and head into the end of the year. And I think we could see some exciting stuff.
I agree with you, man. Well, to everyone that is listening in out there, we appreciate you all being in here. We do these every single week completely for free. So if you did like the episode, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, because we have a lot more content coming your way. And of course, we make all sorts of different kinds of content. We make YouTube videos, we make market updates, we do podcasts, we do tutorials, we do all sorts of content over here. And we want to make sure that you're plugged in and that you're involved. And if you want to ever take the next step, you can go down to the links in the description below and check out some of our other products that are a little bit more honed in. In fact, you can get access to our entire crypto portfolio for just $1 down there as well and be a part of CryptNation. So thank you all for watching. Appreciate everyone coming in here, and we're going to see all of you at the same time, same place next week.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.